Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we're continuing to go over what Jude taught about how to combat heresy. So let's open our Bibles and read Jude verses 17 through 21 again together. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you in the last time, there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Now, on this broadcast, we're continuing to go over the first of the four ways that Jude gave us to combat heresy. The first way is based upon the inspired words that Jude wrote in verse 20 when he said, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now this first way of combating heresy could also be called the way to achieve spiritual health, because that's what Jude is really talking about. Now we can all agree that if given a choice, it is better to be strong in the Lord than it is to be weak. So since being strong will help us to combat false teaching, how do we become spiritually strong? And we saw last time there are 10 separate biblical keys for every believer to become spiritually strong. So let's go over the list again. Number 1, there's prayer. Number 2 is Bible study. Number 3 is godly fellowship. Number 4 is obedience. Number 5 is being filled with the Spirit. Number 6 is confession. Number 7 is love. Number 8 is trust. Number 9 is witnessing. And number 10 is discernment. Now, we've already gone over the first key to our spiritual strength, prayer, and today I want to look at the second way, which is Bible study. The Bible is God's final, complete, and authoritative revelation to man. It contains everything that we need for both life and godliness. So while there are other things we can read or listen to or watch or be a part of that would help us in various ways here on the earth, the Holy Bible should be our main source of godly instruction. And I suppose that Bible study is one of the most overlooked aspects of Christian life today. We live in a time when Bible knowledge among God's people is at an all-time low. If you have listened to any of these radio broadcasts, you will know that I deal with this issue quite a bit because it is at the heart of all that Jude wrote in this epistle. More and more churches today have almost completely abandoned historic Christianity and are following the broad road which the modern church growth gurus have designed, and the result is always a de-emphasis of Bible study. Today, fewer people study the Bible than at any time in the 2,000-year history of the church, and that is despite the fact that we have such wonderful tools available that make this process so easy and nice. The most common thing that I hear is that most people simply do not have time to study their Bible. But of course, they always seem to have time to go fishing, or camping, or gardening, and they always have time to watch television, or sports, or to play video games. The fact of the matter is, the Bible is simply not viewed today by any sizable majority to be important enough to study on an ongoing basis. And that is both shameful and tragic. Part of the problem is the fact that our modern culture is both entertainment-oriented and designed to feed our own self-centeredness. Even the church has become more and more like the world and has adopted a psychological gospel comprised of more and more things that do not matter, combined with feel-good preaching which cannot convict the heart or save the soul. Christianity has been remade and repackaged so much, and we have all gotten out of the box so long that we don't even remember what the box is. In my lifetime, the glorious gospel that should produce people who hate materialism and covetousness and greed has been remade to being nothing more than a tool that we can use to get more of this world's goods out of God. And beloved, that's not Christianity. That's blasphemy. Bible study today is almost universally looked at as some search for a special key or a hidden secret that will allow us to have a better life down here right now, rather than as a way to honor God and prepare us for the next life. Bible study far too often resembles a search for the next bumper sticker or a clever slogan that we can put on a t-shirt or a ball cap or that we can quote rather than its objective, propositional, absolute truth to which we will all be held accountable. And that is why the last thing on anybody's list today is serious, in-depth, line upon line, and precept upon precept examinations of the Scriptures. But regardless of how unpopular this becomes, by God's grace I will remain faithful to preach the truth about this issue. I will tell you that it is simply unconscionable for anyone who has been saved for any length of time at all to be ignorant of the Scriptures. Now this might be understandable if God had not gone to great lengths to give us His Word. But God did go to unimaginable lengths to give us His Word. And for a believer who has been saved for any length of time to not be involved in a serious, deep, ongoing Bible study, it's sinful. And it is sinful for the leaders of the American church to not emphasize Bible study and not to hold regular Bible studies at the church on an ongoing basis. But it's not like they don't hold any meetings at all. No, the modern church is filled with concerts and comedy acts and puppet shows and sporting events and all kinds of meetings. But as those things increase, the Bible sits on the shelf, gathering dust, and God's people remain ignorant of what the owner and the creator of the universe said. We must remember, dear friends, that there is simply no way for anyone to know God's will without having a thorough knowledge of Scripture, because Scripture is God's revealed will to man. We have to realize that the Bible is not only God's word in the world, but it is also God's voice in the world. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. So if you desire to know the word of God, you must read the Bible. And if you desire to hear the audible voice of God, you should read the Bible out loud. But the Bible is also God's will. We learn about God's will in general and for our lives specifically by studying the Bible. It is frightening to see how many people today go from one meeting to the other trying to get somebody to lay hands on them and give them a word of knowledge or a prophetic utterance to inform them what God's will for their life is. Anyone who holds themselves out as being able to do that is a false teacher and should not be believed or received into the church. God has not subcontracted the ability to tell other people what God's will is to any man. But He has strictly reserved that ability for His own word. Asking somebody else to give you a word about God's will for your life shows a fundamental disregard for the word that God has already given, and it reveals an inherent laziness on the part of the individual to study this book to find out for himself. Almost everyone that I meet today says that the Bible is God's word, yet so few actually treat the Bible with the respect that God's word requires. What good is divine truth if God's people don't know it? And how do we expect people who don't know the Lord to live in accord with Scripture if the very people of God don't honor God's word by obeying it? Why in the world would we want the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall of our schools when the Ten Commandments are not on our homes' walls or in our hearts? Why do you want the American culture to return to biblical standards when the people of the church don't even know what those standards are? So what are we to make of this glaring inconsistency? If the Bible is the infallible, inerrant, and inspired word of the living God, then are we not compelled to understand what it says? But not only do we need to know what the Bible says, we must learn what it means by what it says. What I find to be fantastic is how little time the leadership in the average church spends in teaching their people how to study and how to correctly interpret the Bible. No wonder so many people are being fooled by ancient heresies that are rehashed and repackaged in our day. No wonder the Mormons are growing by double digits every year. Beloved, Bible study is required by God to all who are saved. Lost sinners are not required to study the Bible, but all who are saved are in blatant rebellion by ignoring Bible study. People who are born again should have an insatiable hunger for the words that came from the mind and the heart and the mouth of Almighty God. So, if a person has no desire at all to study God's Word, then why in the world would we think they were born again? Now, it's true that you can be saved without reading the Bible or knowing anything at all about Scripture. When I first came to know the Lord, I didn't know any verses of Scripture at all. I never even knew John 3:16. But once you're saved, once you're born again, part of the new divine nature within you causes you to desire to read and study to know God's Word. It is patently false to say that some saved people hunger for God's Word while others who are equally saved do not. All saved people have an inner craving to know God, to be with God, to love and obey God, and to enjoy Him forever. And if you don't have that craving, it is because you are probably not saved. Now we must realize that effective Bible study should be systematic rather than haphazard. Believers should not approach the Bible in a every once in a while way. We need to study God's Word for the same reason that we need to eat. If you don't eat, you get weak and you will eventually die. If you do not eat the bread of God, you will get weak and you will eventually die. Most people that I know eat two or three meals every single day. Some eat more than that. So the Bible study should be done on that basis. A comprehensive, systematic, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book approach to Bible study is the single best way to learn God's Word. I also recommend that you not engage in those little precious promise cards which have been sanitized to take all the verses out which hold judgment and punishment against sinful behavior. We need to read all of the Bible, dear friends, not the parts that promise blessings. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God, even the parts of horrific cataclysmic disaster and eternal retribution. Now, another myth that must be put down is that believers always have this great emotional ecstasy about their time in Bible study. You don't. Bible study is not about us getting high. It is about us loving God enough and valuing what He said enough to want to know what He said. Sometimes Bible study is a wonderful experience, while other times it's like plowing through a field of rocks. Sometimes when I study the Bible, 2 or 3 hours can go by and it seems like 15 minutes. Other times every second is slow and agonizing. But it's not about having fun. It's about love. Everything you do with people you love is not always thrilling at the moment you do it, but you do it because you love them. Studying God's Word is the same thing as sitting at Jesus' feet. So we need to do that. You study God's Word because you love Jesus, and you study God's Word because you place a high value on what He has to say. Or you don't study God's Word because you value other things more than you value the words of your Creator. Now, there are many hundreds of Bible study plans out there that are good and reliable, but I have found that an aggressive approach is the best approach. I have developed a Bible study plan in which you go through the entire Old Testament and about one-third of the New Testament every single year. So over 2.5 years, you will have read the entire Old Testament more than twice, and you will have read the New Testament many, many times over. Each workday, Monday through Friday, I read 4 chapters of the Old Testament while reading all of a small New Testament book or a portion of a larger New Testament book. I set aside my very first waking moments to this study and Bible study. In my almost 4 decades of serving Christ, this plan has allowed me to read the Bible through from cover to cover hundreds of times. If you would like a free copy of this plan, just write or call or email me, and I'll be happy to send you a copy. So the second way to become spiritually strong is engaging in a systematic, ongoing, serious, line upon line, precept upon precept study of the only book that God gave to man. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.